speak.
How can you have this much energy? Like, genuinely, how are you this excited?
If I don't... Well, first of all, I did my yoga today. but second of all, somebody has to keep us afloat, because if I know you, you're going to send us spiraling if we don't keep it light. So, we watched season 5, episode what?
16.
Episode 16, it's called The Body.
The episode I've been dreading.
We have a very special guest. His name is Matt.
Hi.
He also has a... Yeah, there he is.
Matt, tell us about yourself and your podcasts and your Buffy experience.
Oh, yeah, what do you
in
know?
In that order.
What
okay.
do you know
yeah,
about Buffy?
Yeah, no, I'll be taking notes.
Okay, good. Same. my name is Matt, and I do a podcast called Stuff Weekly, which is about weird news, and that I just explained it off the air, and so now I feel weird explaining
not
it.
Not to me!
No, do it again.
I was okay. off yes. spilling water all over my kitchen.
You know, that's
there was a cup with a hole in the bottom of it that I didn't know about.
our podcast is about weird news stories. We kind of comb the internet for stuff so you don't have to. And then we mock people for committing dumb crimes and whatnot. It's a good time. It's a good time.
Do you have a Florida
Matt
man
just
segment?
Told me about a story where two people made a fake butt. And Beth kind of came in and interrupted, but...
we were mid-fake butt convo.
I'm curious, was it a... Okay, so these people were caught trying to smuggle drugs...
Correct.
...inside of a fake butt. So yes. Was this... like a paper mache butt?
So
it had to be silicone, right?
The article that I found didn't have, you know, tips on how to make your own fake butt, which would have been incredibly useful. instead, it did have a picture, and from the looks of the fake butt, I would say you're looking at foam padding.
Mm. Oh, come on.
Yeah. Amateur.
Which, I mean...
Goodness gracious.
I don't know. My butt don't feel like foam. Just put it out there.
That's why they got caught. You gotta go with... You gotta do a silicone mold.
Professionals.
I think you'd need, like, a paper mache mold, and then it would be hollow.
Okay.
And then you would put the paper mache butt on top of your own butt, and then put the drugs in between your real butt and then the paper mache
butt.
But
you couldn't sit down.
Oh, fuck. You're right.
It would get all lumpy.
Yeah, and then no, it
depends. How dry
crushed.
Is the paper mache?
Yeah,
I mean, no matter
you
how
literally
dry
just the applied the newspaper.
I mean, like, if you did it with cement, maybe you could sit down.
Sure.
But traditional Elmer's glue, that shit would crumble.
I mean, if you,
crumble
if you
like
apply
the
it
wall.
Right before you go to the airport to commit your fun crimes, then you're just a guy or lady with a soggy butt walking around. And people
soggy
aren't going to even
butt.
Talk to you. You're probably going to get away with the crime.
Tweeted
Maybe.
Us how you would smuggle drugs in with a fake butt.
This
yeah.
is important.
Nobody,
to
nobody ever does this, but I'm counting on you to tell me.
Yeah. And Matt and I, we were saying that, like, if you're not willing to... put the drugs up your own butt
Indeed.
In order to smuggle them, then you don't deserve them.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want them back.
Give
enough.
Them to someone who does.
Yeah. You're taking valuable butt smuggling opportunities from people who actually have the wherewithal.
There are starving smugglers out there
yeah.
who need help, you know? Support mm-hmm. your local smugglers is all I'm saying.
And their butts.
And their buds.
So it's called Stuff Weekly.
Stuff Weekly
yes.
is a very bad title. But since we've been doing this for over 350 episodes now, we're apparently going to keep it.
Too late. I was just telling Beth that we made a mistake by not, like, you know how Britney, she goes, it's Britney, bitch.
Sure.
Where did you
You're familiar?
Constantly. Yeah, she does that all the time.
Okay. Yeah. And I was realizing that instead of our intro being the Buffy theme song, we should have recreated. The it's Britney bitch
okay
like soundbite, but it would have said it's Buffy bitch,
and then we would have
been,
we would have driven away all the Puritans that listen to our show.
Puritans,
there are so many of them. I don't actually know.
Oh,
that.
Buffy Puritans.
No, like literal Puritans,
like Quakers.
Literal.
Okay, people in fun hats with buckles on them,
like in Pensatucky. That's what I'm thinking of.
I mean, I assumed All the right. show was for Puritans. I assumed I can't curse and I can't say the Lord's
no.
name in vain.
If you can't, then we've got to start over.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Okay. Back to the pilot.
We got to go back. We have to go back, Kate.
All right, everybody. So should we talk
about
this?
We're just putting off the inevitable.
That's what I was wondering. That's what I was kind of realizing near the tail end of that there. I was like, I think we're stalling.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. I don't know. I mean, I think just jumping right in, because this episode is all about, like, something suddenly happening.
Yeah, God.
Ooh.
And being in the thick of it. That's what's good about it.
Yeah, so a little background for me. I watched this at midnight last night, because that was the only time I had. And I have watched this episode. I've watched Buffy more or less all the way through, like, 3 or 4 times. Maybe more. I've only watched this episode 3 times. Once was the original viewing. The second was when I made my boyfriend watch it apropos of nothing. I was just like, sit down with me. Watch
Wait,
this
so he
episode
had
of
never
television.
Seen an episode of Buffy before, and you said, hey, Pat, you want to watch this with me?
Yeah, speaking of, he's calling me. Hold on just a second.
What? I swear to God.
Hold on.
Is this going to make air? Can I talk during
it? I swear to God.
Hey, babe, we're recording. All right, I love you. Bye.
This is unbelievable.
I'm sorry.
If I did that, I would never hear the end of it.
Well,
you can't cut this out. It's comedy gold.
Sorry. Speaking of him, yes, he had never seen Buffy, but I was like, you sit down with me, buddy. We're going to watch something. And
that's horrific.
Yeah. And he was like, this is horrible. And I was like, yeah, I know. And then he watched Buffy.
Do you
he
like
watched
it?
All
Do you
of Buffy.
Watch the rest?
He watched the whole wow. show, but he skipped over the body because he's like, already seen it. Don't want to watch it again.
I have a weird confession.
Tell me.
What's up?
Have you never seen it before?
Well, so I didn't get to talk to you about my history with Buffy. Which
oh, yeah,
that's right.
I actually first started watching reruns on FX, like in the morning before I would go to school in the early 2000s. And they would be on as I was getting ready. This is the first episode of Buffy I saw all the way through.
Really?
Yeah, like 20 years ago or so. Which, oh my god, the show and I are old. But, yeah, no, this is one of the, like, if not the first, but definitely one of the first episodes I saw all the way through of Buffy. And out of context, you said your boyfriend watched it without seeing the show. I think out of context it doesn't have as much punch.
No, not at all. I was really, I mean, like, obviously I already knew what was happening, but I was, like, really sad. And he was like, who is she? I was like, she's Buffy's mom. And he was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and you don't understand, like, why Anya's being the way that
oh
she
my
is
gosh.
And all that stuff.
Talk about a punch to the gut. But he did tear up. He did. I remember that. He did get a little emotional. But anyway, so this is the third time I've watched this episode, and this is the hardest it has ever hit me. For a number of reasons. Okay, we're going to get real. I'm sorry. We're going to get sad here for a second. We don't usually get sad.
It's just for a second. Let's do it. I'm in.
Okay, so number one, my mom is sick. She has what may be a terminal illness. And it is something I have been dealing with for the past, oh man, year and a half. That has been awful. So I think the last time I watched it was before she got diagnosed. So that explains.
That's what I was thinking too. When you, like, whenever she died at the very end of last episode, I was like, this is gonna fuck Beth up. Like, this is not appropriate. This is R-rated for Beth right now.
Yeah.
Off limits.
When
your mom is sick, you're not allowed to watch media about mom's
sick
dying.
Moms.
That should
yeah,
be a rule.
I know. So that's part of it. Parts like 2 and 3, in the last week and a half, 2 of my friends have had their parents die.
Which we talked about last week.
Yeah. And, It really, I didn't think it would. I thought I would be more upset or like, I cried. I was like pretty gone, like the whole episode basically. And I've only ever cried like a little bit at this episode. This is the first time I've really, like, I felt like I felt like probably what the people who watched it on the first time on the WB, or what was it? Yeah, WB at the time, were probably feeling like, because, like, I never, like, cried that much at this episode. But then so one of my very, very close friends, his dad died about a week ago. And all of our friend group, we've had a lot of death to deal with in the last, like, 5 years. And we just, like, come together. Like, we were all at his dad's funeral. And
the funeral gang.
Yeah, and we
go. Y'all should get t-shirts.
We go to Zaxby's afterwards. After funerals. And, like,
what is a Zaxby's? I know. What is a Zaxby's?
What?
Caroline's from Texas. Texas, we don't have Zaxby's in Texas.
Y'all don't got Zaxby's in
Texas. Zaxby's is a chicken restaurant, and it's really good.
Yes. It's here, like, in Atlanta, we have many Zaxby's, and they are wonderful.
Yeah. Is it like a Chicken Express?
Like a what?
What?
Like a train? Or like a Golden... No. Like a Golden... These are chicken restaurants that we have in Texas. Is it like a Golden Chick? Do you have Golden Chick?
No. What are you talking about?
Is it... you said it's a chicken restaurant. Do they serve exclusively chicken?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is, like, it like a Popeyes?
Better. I guess, yeah.
It's better than a Popeyes. Is it strips or on the bone?
Strips.
Strips, yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'm picturing it. What's similar
to
it's
similar to a Chick-fil-A,
but
okay.
But okay, them's fighting words. But I always get, they give you toast with every meal, like a Texas toast.
Nice. Oh man, hell yeah, hell yeah,
yeah. It's great.
The interior.
Zaxby's aesthetic is kind of like, what if you took TGI Fridays?
I was literally about to say TGI Fridays.
You made it chicken only, and then you could drive through.
Hell yeah. Oh man, I'd fit right in.
And another thing, besides being my go-to funeral destination,
That's
I went.
We should leave them a Yelp review.
I go there every time someone I know dies.
Wow.
Anyway, sorry. I was literally thinking,
so what?
Have I gone there every time? Recently, in the last, like, 4 or 5 months, I went there with my mom. It was not Halloween, but they were playing the Halloween theme song. They were playing
the
and someone was just murdering someone in the back.
I thought I was in the Twilight Zone. I was like, what is happening? What is going on? Where am I? And I was like, Mom, do you hear that? And she was like,
you thought you were going insane.
Yeah, literally. I was like, is everything okay with, like, me personally, that I'm hearing the Halloween theme song in a Zaxby's? Anyway, so that's why. And seeing the Scooby gang kind of rally around Buffy and Dawn kind of really struck home with me in a way that I didn't think that it would, because I have had to do that incredibly recently. And it's just like, I don't know, like it's a shitty thing. It's a shitty thing to do, to have to go through, and, like, you just have to be there for the people that are affected, and it sucks. And I'm going to cry talking about it, so I'm trying to try and stop, but, like...
I'll take over.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the... Like, you just want to do the right thing. And I think... Okay, first of all, this was so well made. I thought this episode was so well made. I thought they did a fantastic job of, especially, so I'm an editor. That's what I do when I'm not talking to Beth on Skype. And, like, the way that they edited this was, they did such a good job of showing the disconnect that, yes, especially Buffy was feeling. Like, specific moments were when she's staring at the numbers on the phone, whenever she's realizing that she needs to call Giles. Mm-hmm. Like, and the, like, the just
vomit
that,
and the silent cleaning of the vomit, like, I don't know, like, that's, it's really visceral and really real, and it got to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Caroline, did you notice anything else about this episode that was different?
I feel like I'm there was just no music. Like an asshole. Oh yeah, no, I did notice that. Yeah, like the silence of it all, and And, like, there's another moment. Oh, yeah, when she's talking to the paramedic and you can only see him from his mouth down. And it's just, like, this strange... Right?
Yeah.
That happened to y'all too. That's okay.
I'm just letting you talk.
Oh, okay. You had a look on your face and I was like, did my screen just mess up? but yeah, like they just did such a good job of showing like the chaos and like, I guess it's disassociation, right?
Oh my gosh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, just like the haziness of it all. The other thing that, okay. They trick you a lot this episode, too.
Mm-hmm.
I got tricked a couple of times. So once when the paramedics are trying to revive her and she coughs and she wakes up and then it, like, cuts this really quick montage of her being in the ambulance and being okay and then the doctor being like, she's perfectly fine. And then it cuts back
it's a
and
miracle.
She's still...
It's a miracle.
Yeah, yeah. It's a beautiful miracle. Yeah, and she's still a corpse. And I was like, fucking... And I wish we recorded ourselves as we're watching it, because it's hard sometimes when this is just an audio medium, because literally, like, I was sitting here, like, with my eyes all wide, all worried, and then I was like, hooray! Oh my god, fucking tricked. Like, that's just what I was going through over here. And then another time is when, so I thought, I was so grateful at first that they didn't show me Dawn finding out. And then I realized that she is not crying about her mom. Do you know what part I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The first scene you see Dawn, she's crying.
Yeah. And she's crying in the school bathroom and she's going, I can't believe this. I can't believe this happened. And then she goes, Kevin, whatever, called me a freak in front of everybody. And she's crying about something completely different.
It's just
and
teen
I was like,
drama.
God. Yeah, and she doesn't know yet. And...
I know, you're just, like, sitting there like, oh, girl, oh, no, it's gonna get so much worse for you.
Well, you see her being upset about something that doesn't matter, but she doesn't know that it doesn't matter yet.
Sure.
And I also love, another thing that I really loved is that they showed what each character, or I guess not every character, but specifically what Buffy and Dawn were doing before they've realized mm-hmm. what's going on. So I like that we saw this whole... Like, we didn't just cut to Buffy coming into the school and getting Dawn and telling her. We saw Dawn in the bathroom and then...
In art class.
And then walking to class and then talking to the boy that she likes and stuff like that. Like, we saw what she was doing. Like, you know, it's kind of like, where were you when you heard about 9/11?
I was literally thinking that class. Exact thing.
Yeah, it's like where were you? What was she do? Or yeah, what were you doing when you found out that your mom was dead? And she's like, I would like for the rest of her life, she's gonna be like, I was in art class. And it just like really struck me.
Yeah.
Just like, oh my god! I mean, I guess this is just like something that happens with all media. It's just like when you're watching something and you know something that the character doesn't. Like, that's just the, oh, God,
isn't that dramatic
it puts me
irony?
Through the ringer.
If I remember my AP mm-hmm. comp, that's dramatic irony,
I don't
right?
know.
It is
I think it
irony.
Is. Yes.
I'm an English teacher. I can say that.
There you go.
Hell yeah.
I did it. Thanks, Mr. McBride.
Yeah.
I didn't let you down. Yeah, you know what thought I had that it was not related to Joyce's death at all this episode, which was a feat. I tell you, a marvel that I could think about anything else. But Dawn has seemingly adjusted pretty well to the idea that she is not a human person. She seems like she's just kind of like gotten back into the swing of like being a teen, which I'm grateful for. Because as we've said a million times...
what else is she supposed to do?
I know, exactly. But, like, you know, I feel like on a lesser show, it would take her, like, episodes and episodes and episodes to get over. And
well,
I mean, I'm sure she's not, like...
That's part of what this episode's all about, is that it's really disconnected from the rest of the goings-on of the season. I mean, Giles mentions Glory, like, one time, and...
Yeah, and then Xander.
Yeah, you don't get anything else about Glory, really. And Xander's like, let's go kick Glory's ass or something, let's do it. And,
yeah, because he thinks it's her fault.
Right. And other than that, like, no, guys, this is not something you can go slay. This is something that just happened. And so you're dealing with this realistic situation in a pretty unrealistic world that has been set up for
right.
five seasons.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it so, I think, strikingly different.
Yeah, there's another character. This and another character later on in the show are the only two natural deaths in the show. Like, the only two. And it's just very, like, terrifying. And, like, I'm sure that's why a lot of people, like, this sticks out in a lot of people's minds. You know, if you've watched Buffy all the way through at least once or something like that, or maybe if you've only caught a couple of episodes, but this was one of them, it sticks out in your mind because, like, you have this idea of what this show is, and you have this idea of, like, what, you know, what you get when you go into a TV show called Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and this episode just kind of, like, pulls the rug out from under you and be like, it's like, no, death, but death still exists, and it's like people die of natural causes all the time, and it's just as terrifying because you can't fight it.
Not like, everybody in Sunnydale gets murdered, just most people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. it's only unjustified a couple of times.
And I mean, even just like if we look at format, it's just it's been more or less monster of the week with like an overarching big bad.
Yeah.
Up until this point, and with like, you know, the usual like romance lines, which are, you know, here and there, and they come in and out. And I think they indulge the romantic aspects of the show the perfect amount. Like I get just enough of it, you know.
Okay, that's fun.
But this is the first time that it's like there's not. I couldn't even believe that she had to slay the one vampire that she has to.
That's actually my least favorite part of the episode.
Well, me too. I was like, "What the fuck is that guy doing?"
Well, the book, capital T, capital B, the book that you got me, which again, I will say it, it's Myth, Metaphor, and Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Myth, Metaphor, and Morality by Mark Field. It says that it's just like it's a sign that like life doesn't stop. Basically, like you still have to go to work.
Okay.
Quote unquote, like she still has to do her job. And I agree, it's not my favorite part, and I think it kind of takes you out of a really, really, like, sordid and just, like, oh, God, just awful episode that, like, just, like, whacks you over the head with your own mortality.
Well, it's a sickening moment when Dawn is trying to, like, one thing that really hit me hard is, like, imagine walking into a morgue.
Yeah.
And trying and looking at all of the white sheets and trying to figure out which one is your mom.
Yeah.
Because I'm not trying to look at anybody else's corpse.
Right.
And so like, I'm not trying to like pick the wrong one. And Dawn just goes in and like goes straight to the back. And she's like, this one, I know it. But
I'd know that profile anywhere.
Yeah, and it's just like that's such a sick moment, and like the fact that she's doing it because she doesn't believe Buffy, and I'm sure, and that's actually another really kind of realistic response, I guess, because I think she's had so much thrown at her in like the past, let's say, month. Maybe just like finding out she's not an actual human being, but she is actually a human being. Mm-hmm. And then really like, God, she needed Buffy and Joyce so much through that. Like just to reassure her that she was part of the family and like they know who she is. And like, just because, she's come in later, like that doesn't make her any less theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And like, she's just really needed them to come through this. And I think that was a huge anchor, is just, like, the normalcy, like, the routine of, like, that's why she gets so upset. She goes, I thought Mom was supposed to pick me up from school. And she, before she even sees that something is wrong, specifically with her mom, she is already lashing out because things are changing. And she's already freaking out. So, like, she's already in such a fragile state. And so I think that, like, her not believing Buffy, even though it's clearly so obvious, because, like, why else would everybody be acting this way? Like, they're not all at the morgue just to hang out. They're not trying to trick Dawn. But, like, she still doesn't It's not one of those
your mom is dead pranks.
Right, yeah. Those classic pranks.
We've all been through those.
I don't want to dwell on this or whatever, but I had a very, very, very close friend of mine die last year. It was 2016. Oh my gosh, the years, they just fly by. 2016, and it took me months and months and months to come to terms with his death, because it was a weird, like, rationalization in my brain that, like, oh, something bad has happened to my friend, but he's still here. He's fine.
Right? I mean, like, that's one of the things, like, the Anya is kind of going through, because
Anya's
you
the best
really,
part of this episode.
She was,
in my opinion,
that scene, that entire scene. Another scene I didn't cry out before last night, and then last night I was like racked with sobs, is the entire scene from when Willow starts freaking out about her shirt to Anya's speech
and monologue. Yeah,
just the whole thing is just like,
it's seamless.
Anya's POV
is
basically, you know, literally a child who doesn't understand death. And this is what an actual small human being in real life goes through when, you know, someone around them dies and no one's really explained to them what's going on. And she's confused and she's angry and she just doesn't understand. And she can't really, you know, process these emotions or thoughts as well. And it kind of comes out in that really good monologue. And lends to Anya being such a, like, layered and lovable character.
Mm-hmm.
I loved her too, and it was just like, because at first when she's first asking all the questions, you're like, "Fuck, Anya!" Like, like, get it together. And then, like, it kind of hit me before it hit the characters in the show that I was like, she genuinely doesn't get it though,
right?
And then Willow snaps at her, and then the part where she says, "I don't understand how she's not there," and about how she can't just get back in the body and be there again.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, ugh.
Like, the first time I saw that, I was like, oh, she's talking about some kind of weird supernatural stuff. But then I thought about it, and, like, you know, as I've gone through life and experienced more death and whatnot, like, and been around kids a lot, that's a child's mindset. Why can't she just get up?
Right.
She got up this morning.
Yeah.
And it's maybe even more sad of a situation than, you know, what Buffy and Dawn are going through, because, you know, Anya just, she can't understand it. She doesn't have the mindset or the experience to understand it.
And
she's doing her best.
Sure.
She's really doing her best. When she says, oh, I'm sorry, like, what does she say? She says, I'm sorry that Joyce died.
No, she says,
because she was nice.
And this is, like, an important, I thought this was a really interesting thing. She says, I wish Joyce hadn't died. Mm-hmm. Which is, I think, you know, I don't know if they meant to do this or not, but Anya has dealt with wishes for 1,000 years. Like, and that is all she's ever done, is granted wishes. And, now, like, the only thing she has to say to Buffy is, I wish Joyce hadn't died. Because, like, in her mind,
I think that's absolutely, that has to be intentional.
Yeah. Sure. In her mind, that's the most, like, powerful, like, a wish. It's the most powerful thing that she can do. It's, like, the most, like, sincere and genuine way that she, Anya, can convey that she really does, like, she really hates that Buffy is going through this. And, like, she wants everything to go back to the way it was. She wants Joyce to be alive again and all this stuff. And the only way she can think to convey that is to, by the only thing she knows, like, better than anything else, which is granting wishes.
Yeah. And I think it's also, when we say, I'm sorry for your loss, I always feel weird. And I actually don't, like, I have a couple of friends who have lost parents and stuff like that. And I actually try really hard to not say I'm sorry, because I don't feel sorry, but it's this unexplainable thing that just, like, I'm sorry about this is, like, the best way that you can explain it. And I think that, like, when adults say, like, I'm sorry for your loss, I'm sorry this happened, I think that that's communicated well, because everybody's kind of on the same page about it. But Anya, you know, being freshly human and stuff like that, she's not sorry. And so it's like she doesn't use that wording for that reason.
It's the same sentiment. Well. I wish it wasn't so.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And I mean, when we say, you know, I'm sorry for your loss, or even something like my condolences or something like that.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
It's got that same, you know, I wish we lived in a world where this didn't happen, but right. it did. And, you know, I'm here for you. And, yeah. And when Anya right. says that, I mean, Buffy gets it. She doesn't respond angrily or confused. She's, you know, she's thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, she says thanks.
And it's just really nice because you don't get a lot of Buffy and Anya in this show. And I think this is a really sweet and touching moment to show that even though Anya, like, doesn't show a lot of affection for anyone except for Xander.
Right.
You know that she cares. Like, mm-hmm. even though she doesn't, like, she's not crazy about, I mean, I don't think she doesn't not like Willow anymore, but there was a point recently where she didn't like Willow.
Yeah, where she was really jealous.
And, she obviously cares about Giles a lot, and she, mm-hmm. like, because he's her boss, and because they spend a lot of time together and stuff like that. But I feel like this episode is one of the first where you feel like she's, like, really a member of the Scooby gang. And I know, like, you don't think about that, because this is not, like, the episode... This is not, like, an Anya episode, but
right.
She and Tara both get some really great scenes.
Yes, Tara, too.
Oh, Tara.
I wanted to talk about Tara next.
She, Amber Benson. They both get some really great scenes that, like, I feel like this episode is a masterpiece. it does so many incredible things in the context of the show and in the context of, like, television in general. It won an award. I can't remember what award it won. I'm gonna look it up real quick. But, like, and the things that I think within the context of the show is it gives us some really realistic reactions from these characters.
I completely agree.
Like, all of them, Xander punches a wall. You know?
Yeah.
Anya is really confused. Willow is just, like, Willow's known her long, Willow and Giles and Xander have known Joyce longer than Tara or Anya, or even Dawn, technically, but,
right.
And they all have such genuine, oh my, when Giles is at the house and he just rushes to Buffy, mm-hmm. like, he's just, like, yeah. he sees Joyce, he goes to her to try and, like, resuscitate her, and then Sarah Michelle Gellar gives that awful, heartbreaking, just, like, soul-wrenching delivery of, we're not supposed to move the body.
Yeah.
And he just,
another moment while we're talking about her shining star moments, whenever, she's on the phone with 911 and she says she's cold.
Yeah.
And the 911 operator says the body. And she goes, no, my mom.
Right.
Yeah.
That's another just heart wrenching moment. The same as the scene where she says we're not supposed to move the body.
That, they did that scene 7 times.
I'm not shocked.
Yeah, they did that scene 7 times, and the camera was a handheld. Okay. And he said, Joss said that the cameraman had to do it the same shots every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, as he was following Buffy through the house, and, like, you know, when she vomits, and when she, you know, like, that whole scene in the beginning in the house is shot... with a handheld, and they did it 7 times. And she had to give that same performance 7 times.
That's a rough thing to do once, because it's a very good performance. And I don't know, it's a really good episode.
Sarah Michelle Gellar is incredible in this episode. We've ragged on her, some of her acting in some episodes before, but like, there is no doubt in my mind that she steps up and, like...
When Sarah Michelle Gellar does poorly, though, it's because of the writing.
Yes.
Every single time.
That's
and it's
true.
It's obvious. Like, they give her... When somebody who writes it doesn't understand Buffy, it might... Like, that's what it comes across as in the episodes where she, like, is really, like... God, like, when she uses... wording, like, more shallow wording than she would normally. Like, sometimes they try to make her look stupider than she is, or like come across stupider than she is or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like every single time that Sarah Michelle Gellar hasn't, like when you give her the material to work with it, like she can work.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, no doubt in my mind.
This episode is written and directed by Joss Whedon. And yeah. So no one really gets the character more than he does.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They did a wonderful job. Allison Hannigan too with is it you that thinks that Buffy's the best crier?
I have always said whenever Allison Hannigan cries on this show, I cry. Because her face, there's something about her face.
She's good at
She's so sweet, and whenever she's panicking trying to find the right thing to wear, like it's just such a sweet thing. Oh god, it was just so sweet. And that's that scene that you're talking about. And I think, I mean, Beth, we were talking about best scenes last week, because we were talking about the scene between Buffy and Giles in the car after Angel loses his soul. But that scene where Buffy's not even there, and it's just the other members, it's stellar. Like, it's just, oh man, I don't even know what to say about it. Like, it just flowed so well, and
it was incredibly realistic.
The ending too, when Xander ends up getting a ticket, and the whole time that Willow is, you know, panicking, trying on different clothes, she changes Anya clothes like four or five times. Anya
finds it, puts it in the drawer.
I know.
You've got the, I know. Those finding the sweater and then getting the ticket are these, and punching the wall too, are these kind of three small moments of comedy in the middle of this, you know, really heavy stuff. But it's comedy that is also kind of sad, because geez, these guys are going through this stuff, and man, it's funny, but it's not going to overcome the overbearing sadness of what's going on around them.
Yeah, I mean, it's
right.
It's just like that. It's just like that idea that, well, and we go on about our lives, you know, without Joyce.
Yeah, and they're all trying to figure out what to do. And I think that's kind of just like a huge sentiment, is just the confusion. Like, I think that's just that's a huge theme of this episode, is just everybody's confused.
Yeah.
Like, Buffy is confused and disoriented and trying to figure out what to do.
Mm-hmm.
All of the other kids, they're trying to
baby children.
they're trying to figure out like how best to support Buffy, and they understand that they're supposed to, but like they don't know the details, which is why Anya keeps asking, "What are we expected to do? Like, what am I supposed to do?"
Which is you know what? Coming off of, you know, a funeral recently. Two funerals recently, it's a fair question.
Even though Anya is the most childlike one, none of them ever have a definitive answer as to what they're really supposed to do, because there's not a good one.
Right.
Yeah, and also, like, even just over the course of the show, when Anya starts asking question after question like that, nobody else has the answer either.
Right.
And the reason that they snap at her is because they get frustrated that she doesn't understand that this is unexplainable, that certain things in life are unexplainable.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like that's the reason they get so mad at her every time.
Yeah.
And Tara, God, they really just all come through for each other. Like, Tara's just standing there being supportive, and Willow's like, "I just really wish I had my blue sweater." And Tara's like, "Let me go look in the laundry room for you."
Yeah. Tara, you know?
And then Tara, yeah, let's talk about Tara and Buffy.
Yeah, okay, so
you guys have watched past episodes more recently than I have. Have they really had a close relationship up to this point, Tara and Buffy?
Have they stands up for her whenever in family. Her family comes yeah, to which try is another to
Whedon episode.
Yeah, right? That's a good one.
Yeah, so Buffy stands up for her then, and Buffy, they kind of get closer. Maybe that is the same episode. Is that her birthday?
Yeah.
Episode? Yeah. Okay, yeah, so, because Buffy and Xander are being like, I don't know, like, I like her because she likes Willow, and that's what's important to me, but, like, that's mostly as far as it's gotten, and I think, do they get closer over the course of the next couple seasons? Matt, if you don't know, I haven't seen the show before, yeah. I'm watching all of these episodes for the first time.
I was aware, so I'm trying not to spoil it.
Yeah,
they have to walk the line.
They have some good scenes.
Sure.
I would say, oh, they had that cute scene where, oh God, where Buffy, this is another, this was another weird, writing, part where, Buffy's really upset about Riley and, she's talking to Tara. It's the same episode where Willow and Anya get into it. And, and Buffy's like, they have a beautiful love, and talking to Tara about Willow or about Xander and Anya. And Tara's like, yeah. And Buffy's like, a beautiful love. And that was a weird episode. Cause we were like, she, like, are we supposed to believe that she's like actually upset?
Right. That's one of the, episodes that I'm talking about where Sarah Michelle Gellar has nothing to work with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, she just has to do what's on the script, right? Like, she doesn't get any say in it.
It just seemed like, were we supposed to take it seriously? That's season 4. that was actually season 5.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That was,
because Riley doesn't leave until season 5.
That's true.
Yeah, this, I mean, this season as a whole is an incredibly strong, amazing season, but that, and so, and they have smaller, little, tiny scenes as well, like, they had that, Notre Dame, that Willow was there too, but Buffy was talking. They've had some tiny little relationship building scenes, but nothing too crazy. They will have more that I can think of.
What makes the scene between them in this episode really strong is because, like, I would say of the entire Scooby Gang, they're the least close, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Anya, but that's neither here nor there. And I mean, like, I would put, you know, Tara in that same kind of spot as, like, say, Oz had in previous seasons.
Right.
He's part of the group, but only just barely. He mostly had a connection to one person, and Tara has mostly a connection to one person. And so,
right.
I mean, it reminds me of when I've had friends die, and or friends who have had family members die, and, you know, I don't know them as well, but I want to, you know, comfort them in some way.
Right.
Yeah, and especially when you have that same experience, right, like Tara does, like, you have to tell them, but you don't want them to think that you're being, and she even does that too. She says, no, I'm not trying to be like, oh, well, my mom died too.
Yeah.
And Buffy's like, no, I know that's not what you're doing.
That,
and nobody ever does think that that's what you're doing, but you still have to clarify anyways.
Yeah, that scene is just very, like, it, we don't know a lot about Tara, and sadly we never really do. The most we get out of her is, like, the, family episode, which is the only Tara episode.
Remember when she thought she was a demon?
What?
Remember when she thought she was a demon?
Oh, God.
Remember when I thought she was a demon?
Remember when you thought Angel was an angel?
Yeah, I do.
Did that happen? I haven't listened to all of your episodes yet.
Well,
season
1, you're not missing much.
Yeah, you're not. I used to eat popsicles while we would record, so.
Oh, God. I didn't have a mic until season 2.
I got popsicles. I can go get some.
No, do not. We got left a comment that said, I love this podcast, but Caroline keeps eating.
Some of our early reviews do not reflect the state of our podcast as it currently stands.
No, we've grown. It's fine. But anyway, yeah, when Angel, because if you'll remember, Angel, for the first large chunk of his role on the show, just appears randomly and then disappears as quickly as he came. And he shows up and he's like, I have some information for you. Here it is. Goodbye. And then he's gone.
So you thought he was a literal angel and not Batman.
Yeah, I was like, would they really be so literal as to name the angel?
Because
I could tell he was a good guy, and I didn't realize at that point that the show, I thought this show, going into it, was a lot more shallow than it is. And so I was like, surely they're not going to have a good guy who's a vampire. It's called Buffy the Vampire Slayer. But
yeah,
so I did think that Angel was a angel, and I thought that Tara was a demon because now I'm always, now that I know that the show has layers and they're always pulling fast ones on us, I was like, oh, I bet she is really a demon. And Beth had to be like, no, she's really not.
Yeah, after the family episode when Spike could punch her, she was like, well, I bet she is really a demon. And I was like, I'm not going to let you go the rest of the show believing that.
Yeah. And I was like, I bet Spike, because that's also Spike's, it's the beginning of his turning point. And so I thought maybe Spike had, like, tricked them into being like, oh, yeah, I can't hit her.
Yeah.
She's human. Just to be like, nice. I thought it was a ploy. No. I thought it was all it was a ruse.
No, it was not a ruse.
That's an interesting segue. This is apparently, and pardon me from cribbing from the wiki here, but...
Okay. Welcome to Buffy Speak. Welcome to Beth's entire research.
This is the last episode of the entire series that doesn't have Spike in it.
Yeah.
Like Spike, interesting.
Like, and you know, I didn't even notice that watching. I was like, oh yeah, Spike is not here at all, and yet he's pretty important.
Yeah.
I noticed he was not there, because at first, whenever she first started dialing, I was like, she's probably calling Giles. I can't imagine she'd be calling Spike, but she's had this over the past few episodes, maybe like 5 or 10, every single time she's been getting into trouble, she's been calling on him. Oops. And just from like you know, when she needs Spike to watch Joyce and Dawn, and like whenever Dawn goes missing and then they go looking for him, like she partners up with Spike. And so I was like, oh, I wonder if she's gonna call Spike, but she did not.
The last time we saw Spike, he was in a pretty creepy place.
Yeah, he does not need to be around
the Buffy
right
bot
now. Is that really what's about to happen?
Sorry. You saw the last episode. What do you think was going to happen?
I was just hoping and praying that I wasn't about to watch SMG fight SMG. Like, I was just hoping that. I don't know. No. I don't know.
Oh,
like,
you think they're going to fight? That's funny. No, they're not going to fight. He wants a robot for other reasons.
No, I mean, I don't want to watch Sarah Michelle Gellar fight Sarah Michelle Gellar. I don't, because, right, like, isn't she going to have to fight her robot self?
I don't remember. I don't think so.
I don't think she ever fights the Buffy bot.
Really. I can't believe he's going to fuck the Buffy bot. I can't believe it.
How low can you go?
Do you guys do fun episode titles? Because that's your title. I can't believe you're going to fuck the Buffy bot.
We gotta keep our... Wait, I gave us an explicit rating. Never mind. Yeah.
No. You did?
No. We don't do fun episode titles, but I can put that in the description. Look out for that, everybody. But Spike's not in this one. He's somewhere that's else, to borrow a phrase from Oz, from our boy.
I wish Spike would get his shit together.
Yeah.
Like, I believe in him.
Define getting
I believe
his shit
him
together.
To be, like, just, like, not be an
creepy
asshole about Buffy not liking him back and stuff. And I know this episode is not about Spike, but I just got reminded that he's, like, oh my god. It's like if you drew your crush's face on a fleshlight. Like, that's the equality. Or, like, if you cut it out and, like, taped it on there.
Okay.
I'm horrified.
All right, yeah. No, I think I follow.
Like, Buffy, her mom just died, and she has yet to experience the worst thing that's going to happen to her. Which is realizing that your nemesis has made a sex bot of you.
I was confused because I thought you were describing Spike as if you drew your crush's face on a fleshlight. And I'm like, I guess he's got a weird jaw structure, you know?
No, no.
Oh, no, this is not where I thought this episode was going
to
go. Oh,
welcome
dear.
To the body discussion, everybody. It's
oh,
a very
dear.
Sad episode. Spike is a famous thing.
Oh, NC-17, this episode of Buffy Speak.
Yeah.
Don't listen with your kids.
Another thing I want to talk about, and this might be, I think we're running out of bodies to talk about, but so we might be wrapping it up here. But I want to see the morgue worker who is going to come back in about 20 minutes, and his lock is going to be busted, and one of his corpses is going to be missing.
Yeah,
because she dusted him.
Yeah.
And he's going to be like, somebody stole one of the bodies.
Hold on. This is Sunnydale. He's totally used to bodies going missing at this point.
Yeah, he's probably
Are
just
you kidding
like,
me?
Put it in the log, boys.
More like erase it from the log.
Yeah, for real.
Just pretend he
well,
was
Jeff's
never here.
Gone, everyone.
Listen, we want to bury our father. Where's his body? Yeah, so about that. We caught him on the security camera ambling off. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I just... Sorry, you know, kids. You know about the vampires, right? Like, it can't just be me. You know.
Yeah.
There was, like, a big snake 2 years ago, guys.
Yeah, for real. Where do you think the high school went? Oh my gosh, I wonder if they built it again. R.I.P. in peace.
I know, throwback. Did you see me? You said the high school, and I went like this. I was like, I like went into a dream sequence for a second. I was like, the high school.
Oh, man.
So should we rate it?
I guess. This episode, it's tough. I mean, it's a 10, obviously.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 10.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. It's, like, one of the most, like, beautiful, wonderful, horrible hours of television ever in the world. Ever. It's just the worst.
Like, literally, the only negative thing I have to say about it is the vampire fight, which I think was superfluous.
Yeah.
Like, at Joss Whedon, fight me. That's what I should make my Twitter bio. I don't necessarily have a problem with that. I think it's annoying, kind of, but at the same time...
I was shocked when I saw him.
Yeah, for real. Like, they're really going to do this?
Yeah.
They're really going to bring up vampires in this vampire show?
But I mean, I get what the book said, and I'm sure what the writers were... I'm sure what Joss was thinking is just like, yeah, you know, shit doesn't stop.
Right. Sure. I mean, I didn't really get that until you said it.
Yeah, me neither.
And I get it now, because I mean, a lot of this episode to me is very wrapped up in stages of grief, and really just the mm-hmm. first two, denial and anger.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking, you know, you've got bargaining and the fourth one, depression, then acceptance. And I mean, I feel like you've got more episodes that you can deal with that in. And, yeah. You know, so I think we could have waited for her having to go back to work, or the idea that, you know, the job doesn't end, because it's so disconnected from, quote unquote, the job this episode is.
Right.
And
that's a good point.
What I love about it is that, I mean, you know, I said I saw this episode without really knowing as much about Buffy as I would have liked. The first time, but I think it works so much better with that background and knowing that it's so disconnected.
Yeah, right. For sure. From the supernatural and from, like,
mm-hmm.
everything that the show has been up to this point, really. it's just a punch to the gut, the whole thing.
But it's a very well-made punch.
Yeah.
A good fist.
It's got a nice follow-through.
It's been training for a very long time to punch you directly in the gut.
They've been hitting a lot of sandbags with some goofy Dracula episodes.
Oh, God. They've been hitting a lot of Puffy Xanders, as we got in the last episode. Remember Puffy Xander? It seems like 20 years ago.
It really does. It feels like forever ago.
No, we can't go. We have to talk about this episode has, I think, the first on-screen lesbian kiss.
Really?
I noted because whenever she... Okay, so she... It's framed like a kiss, you know? Where, like, they're both very close together. And she kisses her forehead. And I was like, oh, that sucks. They're not going to show the kiss. And then they did kiss. And I remember being like, nice.
Mm-hmm.
I did finger guns for our listeners.
Yeah.
But do you have a verdict?
Wait, do I have a verdict? What?
I thought you were Googling first on-screen lesbian kiss.
I was like, I've already rated it. What are you talking about? Hold on.
They did the kiss like 100 times, a lot of takes.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's their first kiss. It's definitely not the first on-screen lesbian kiss in general.
No, yeah.
No.
It was in 1991. Looking... Oh, 10 years prior. God, we've really come such a long
way. We wanted Willow and Terry. Whedon wanted Willow and Terry's kiss to be natural and not to be the main focus of the episode, so he included it in an episode here. This said kiss also brings to an end the WB's apparent policy about contact between same-sex partners. Eat shit, WB.
Yeah, nice.
Fucking got him. He had to, like, doubled. He had to, like, fight, basically, standards and practices. He had to be like, no, this is going to be in this episode, and there's nothing you can do about it.
I mean, it would have been weird if it wasn't in this episode. You know, like, it would have been weird if we saw Willow and Tara talking and trying to deal with this, and they didn't comfort each other physically. Yeah. Oh, God, it would have been so out of place.
Oh, God, frick, what was I gonna... Oh, yeah. So they say strong like an Amazon, which is a lyric from a song by, I think it's called Franks or Frank. Mm-hmm. She is a Jewish lesbian. And so is Willow, as it turns out.
Yeah.
Which Joss Whedon said he didn't mean to do that, but he did. He did. At Joss Whedon, bite me.
All right, everybody. We'll go give all your lesbians some love that are in your life. Mm-hmm. And give your mom some love.
Oh, God. No, I texted my mom last night. It's her birthday next week. And I texted her and I was like, I love you. Thank you for always being there for me. It's just like I text her that sometimes.
You're so sweet.
When I'm feeling very, very vulnerable.
My mom texted me this morning before I woke up at like 6 a.m. about gun control. It was really weird.
Like, like for gun different control vibe. Or just like...
She was just like, hey, you're a teacher. Why don't we get rid of all the guns? You shouldn't have guns. I was like, I know.
I know. God.
Love you, Mom. You're like, you're telling me I work at the school.
Right?
Oh, man. That's right, another everybody. Thing. That's another thing that I'm
Listen,
glad
we'll
that
be
this...
here another hour.
This show doesn't have to deal with. There was almost a school shooting episode, but then Buffy got Jonathan down from the clock tower, so it's fine.
Jesus.
That was a weird episode.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? I was just really... I went into another dream sequence. I was like, God, that was weird, too.
Remember Jonathan? Y'all remember Jonathan?
Weird dude.
Okay, all right. I guess we have to go now.
All right, everybody, follow us on Twitter at @Buffy_speak. Matt, what's your Twitter?
My personal Twitter is at @Matt_C. It is the word underscore, no actual underscore.
Oh,
wow. That's so meta. Did you come up with that yourself?
Well, the Matt actual character underscore C was taken, and so I typed it.
No one had
the word. I don't know why. Probably because it's really dumb.
Underscore it.
No, it's funny. It's funny. All right, y'all. So check out Stuff Weekly. Check out our previous episodes. We'll be here to talk about more deaths next week.
I have a new podcast coming out this upcoming Thursday. We are dropping 3 episodes a la Netflix.
Wow, amazing. That's a big deal. They must be cutting you a huge check.
I know. Me and Netflix together forever. I definitely don't hate them for canceling Sense8. I do. I really hate them for canceling Sense8. I love that show so much. It's called The Fourth Journal. It's a fan cast episode by episode. Similar to what we're doing here for the show Gravity Falls. So if you are into that, it will be next Thursday where it appears in your feed and you can get it and you can hear me talk even more than you already do. So,
all right, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Delicious. Okay. What a fun hypothetical, Doc. Thanks. here, I made a mix CD. Can you take this with you and just listen for a bit? I made a Spotify playlist just in case my family died. Food sounds amazing. Well, thank you guys for having me on. Yeah. Bye.